All right, gang, happy Thursday. Time to get rolling. I believe call number 8, if I'm not mistaken. So the homework. Remember, it was a pretty easy assignment, picking out some kind of a book or just about anything you were going to take a quick report on. And again, pretty cool stuff comes through. I'm going to just read through some of the lists of the books that came through and then take it from there. So, have you ever heard of the Celestine Prophecy? Oh, that's a big one. I actually read that one in college. So I'll have to go see that one on the shelf. I've already borrowed this book, The Yamas and the Niyamas. Anybody heard of that one? Seeds of Greatness. Oh, yes. That's a big one. The Rhinoceros Success. Anybody? Anybody? And probably the winner of the author, anyway, two submissions. We had The Power of Positive Leadership and The Carpenter. Love those guys. You know, John Gordon, we all know him now. Read that Carpenter book when it first came out, and I don't have it anymore because I've lent it out so many times. So it's just gone, but it's a popular one. Always a winner. Wherever you go, there you are. So that's another philosophy book. Dave Ramsey, we mentioned him last week, Financial You. So somebody took a quick beat on that one. River of Doubt, and that's about Theodore Roosevelt. So a little history book there. Love those. Probably give you 3 guesses on who this one is. Extreme Ownership, How the Navy SEALs Lead and Win. So that was another one that's on the shelf. And we'll just round out of the ones that I picked out here, the book Becoming. You might not know who wrote that one, Becoming, but it's become a quick bestseller, Michelle Obama. And in fact, just a couple nights ago, I just kind of downloaded that one for the audiobook when I was out shopping. And, you know, Becoming kind of rolls into what we're going to start talking about today. But I actually was pretty impressed with a couple of people that submitted their reports. And so I've got their permission to send out some homework assignments. I'm sending their homework assignments out, pardon me. And just to show you what a one-pager really looks like. So, and then the challenge is, as you become a leader in your group and a mentor for others, people just don't read many books these days. We're just too busy, it seems like. So you have to get clever on how we do this and how we teach. So this one-page is a great idea. We used to do it with the field team not long ago. So you'd read a book and then, you know, maybe 100, 200, 300 pages, summarize it into one. This is, I'm going to send these out, a couple, 3, just to let you see what they look like. And they can really summarize, and you don't have to read the whole book, unless you really want to. What I've done recently even is just take pictures and make collages and use these as teaching tools. So the sound bites, you know, just a quick summary, keywords, and you know that's how we remember some books. So Michelle Obama, I just saw she already outsold. Not that anybody really cares, I'm sure, but Hillary Clinton's had 6 books in the last few years, and already Michelle Obama's outsold all those. So, Becoming. So here's our title of this week's little lesson, how to become a winning coach. We substitute the word coach with leader, mentor, entrepreneur, but how do we become this winning person? And so we first analyze the word winning, but we're becoming. Keep that word in the back of your head. I'm going to take you back about 20 years ago. It was a memorable Saturday morning. I was living in Topeka, Kansas. And I had my little girls at the time, and I was reading the Bible in the morning. As most of you know, that's my milk and meat in the morning, so to speak. I'm not saying you should do that, just saying that's what I was doing, memorizing some stuff. And I remember that day, Proverbs 15. It was just 6 words. A soft answer turns away wrath. So I was meditating on that a little bit. Later on in the day, my two girls that are probably maybe 10 and 7, something like that, come running into the house crying, and they had just been scared by the neighbor. So we had this neighbor, Mr. Johnson, and so on the border of our property, we had blueberry bushes. And they went to go pick blueberries, and apparently that old Mr. Johnson, who reminded me of the Peter Rabbit figure, Mr. McGregor, kind of a mean guy, he was going to, they thought they were going to become, they were going to be put in a pie. But, you know, here's this gruff guy, you might call him a curmudgeon, and he yells at my girls because they were picking off the wrong bush. Apparently they weren't too far over the border that, you know, little girls are never going to see. So they came in crying and scared. So first thing you want to do is take your shotgun and go out and so these are the things you react to. These are the things how we become better people, better coaches, better leaders. And I thought, wow, this is probably a moment where I want to hurt this guy. That would be wrath. You know, we escalate quickly from anger to rage to wrath. And so I was like, no, let's keep it down. Let's keep it quiet. I know the girls are upset. So we gathered up the blueberries, and we took a walk down to see Mr. Johnson. I'm sure the girls really didn't want to do that, but, you know, they're in tow. And so my plan was knock on the door, and Mr. Johnson comes out with his wrinkly forehead and not smiling ever. And I say, oh, man, Mr. Johnson, hey, listen, I'm so sorry. The girls, you know, they just really didn't know. And here are your blueberries back. I just want to guarantee that really this will never happen again. So it just took that road, and Mr. Johnson didn't know really what to say. You can imagine, you know, he probably thought I was going to do something evil. But it's the way I started thinking about how we're going to actually form our personal leadership plan. And it was an epiphany day for me. I think of John Hughes when his little sign up in the training center, teach, don't tell, coach, don't yell. That's his little mission statement. But that's an easy, simplified go-to to when you're in a situation where you're teaching people. How are you going to do it? What's going to be your style? And so that's going to be one of the things we hit here in a little bit. But, you know, it really talks about, do we develop our own leadership plan, or does it just happen? And again, I wasn't going to threaten the guy. There wasn't any shouting, no revenge. But really, how do we become a winning coach? You're definitely not born a winning coach. And right now we think of coaches as sport, you know, in sports. But really what we're doing here, we're evolving our coaching mentality to go from sports into the business world, into a business coach. So on my wall in the office, there's a little quote. It says, winning. Winning isn't everything, but the will to win is. Vince Lombardi. And so what does winning mean? What do we care about winning? And I see that, it's what I'm trying to get out is winning isn't a one-time thing. Winning isn't, it's a body of work. It's a life's work. We see some of the best coaches in our society, and we know that, you know, we can name them Saban and Dabo and Belichick and these guys that are relevant right now. They didn't happen overnight. It takes years, and they've developed the culture. Wherever we're at right now, we talk about it a lot in the training center. What culture are you going to start developing? We've talked about cultures of listening. We've talked about who's in charge of that culture. But we need to transfer our sports mentality now really to the coach, the business, and the trainer. And the thing is, winning is a habit. We talk so much about habits, and we know this. We know that it takes a while. We also know that losing is a habit. And some of you may have been on losing teams before. Maybe you were having, didn't feel so good. And nobody really likes to be on a losing team. And I was listening to a podcast by Kobe Bryant not long ago, and he was just talking about how horrible he was when he was 11 and he was in a summer league. His first year of basketball, he scored 0 points. He didn't have any points. He was skinny. He just saw how stunk he was, you know, how bad he was, and how he started, mentally started, how I'm going to start winning. And it was that practice, and it was you hear these stories all the time. But one of the things I always like to look at is what are the traits that you think are going to make you a winning coach. And I put those in my book on page 40. If anybody has the book, you kind of start looking and seeing what those are. And I think I had the ultimate compliment recently. I was reading a blog by a lady who was a sales manager. She had written 120 blogs, and this one was entitled How to Be a Great Leader, and these are the 8 traits that they should be, and they were right from my book. What do you think the odds were of that, that she didn't do a little surfing of the net and just say, oh, here's another one, I'll use these. You know, these are just, and these are the ones we talk about, listening, culture, humility. What is your, this is the first challenge, is what traits do you think you need to be a great coach? And not a good coach, but a winning coach. And really when we're out, what we're doing is we're in a war every day, especially for you guys that are out in the field working with Jersey Mike's. And it's not going to happen by itself. But what are those traits you need to personally develop to become self-aware? We keep talking about that self-aware. I've got my 8 in there for you. Are those your 8? Are those the ones you want to develop? And, you know, what are the core values? We were just down at the training center with John Helm, Matt Catania. They had 2 sets of men. They had 40 people go through their retreat this week, and they just embody their core values. Everybody knows what those are, and they live by them. What are your core values? And then I remember you've heard me talk about the 7 C's before. That's one of the earliest ways. You know, I stumbled on those 7 C words that we talked about in our coaches' meetings and let people get involved. And I'm going to tell you a little quick story, and it helps with to understand Peter also. When we were in high school, we had a football coach. Yeah, you all know about Rod Smith. And we also can't forget about Coach Fioretti. And Coach Fio, as we know, that's the name of the field. Many of you know this. He had so many little euphemisms, and one of them was Campbell Soup. And he used this iconic company here in New Jersey, those beefsteak red tomatoes, the number one soup in the country, in the world at this point. But what he used to say to us was, and this Peter picked it up, we all picked up on it, but he used to say, hey, Dolan, you just like Campbell Soup. You're never going to change. And so, you know, what was he telling us? What was he telling us? Well, that company, Campbell Soup, never changed. They were great because they stuck to their core values. They were great because they did what they were supposed to focus on. Just like us, just like our company. But what he was saying is it's the basics. The basics of what we do, we have to learn as winning coaches. We can't forget that. And I just remember as a coach myself years ago, coaching quarterbacks. So a lot of you guys know we talked about the slicer being our quarterback. Well, I'm a junior high coach. I'm on my first year of coaching. I'm a junior high 7th and 8th grade football. What, man, you talk about glorious. You talk about prestige. I'm working with junior high kids. And as a quarterback, you know, I'm teaching the quarterbacks, they can do one thing. They can either hand off the ball or they run with the ball. That's it. But you got to, you know, that's what you work on all day. It's just that basic. In high school now I'm a high school quarterback, and now these high school guys, they can hand it off. They might be able to run it, and now they could even throw it. And it's usually just one guy. You can't tell them to read a field. You can't tell them to watch the tight end and look at the other. It's just one guy. And if that guy's covered, he's either going to throw it or not. Now, in college, now a little more sophisticated. Now you start reading. They can hand it off. They might run an option. They can pass. They can actually read 1 or 2. So you can see, but you can't. You just keep going backwards. You can't really, and it was easy for me as a coach at this point and appreciate what the basics were, because you just look back and it just happened to be the way I was raised up, coaching the simple stuff, and you'll never get to the complicated stuff. You'll never be a Brady, as we use, you know, but same way. And so again, how are we going to become this winning coach or winning mentor? I'm going to give you 3 takeaways. So here come the takeaways. First of all, how are you going to know your players? How are you going to know your people? We've said it a million times, we're a people business. People is our purpose. All right, really? If that's the case, how are you going to take care of them? Are you meeting with them individually? Are you meeting with them in a group? When I was leading our field team, we had some fun little group things that we would do occasionally, didn't we? Did you ever get your manicure? Did you ever get your pedicure there, Mike?
I did.
Oh, he did, yeah. So we took guys out for a pedicure. That was fun. Eight guys doing a pedicure. You didn't think that got a Facebook attention. We've thrown axes. We've shot arrows. What is it you're going to do with team building? Or are you going to do anything? And so we all, you know, how are we going to really get to know our people? The second takeaway on that really is you need to develop an IEP. So you can ask yourself, if you're not a teacher, you probably don't know what an IEP is. But as a special ed teacher, that was a state mandatory. Every kid had to have a file, and it was called an individualized education plan. Keep a file on your team. If you're managing a store, you want to have your own file on everybody. And on that file, you're looking at your guys' strengths, their weaknesses. You know, we call it the SWOT analysis, who their family are, what's important to them. Matt and John have already implemented the Dream On program. So they're actually fulfilling dreams for some of their people. I know, if we don't know our people, they usually don't stick around. I'm on this little panel this week at their retreat, and one of the questions, they said, what was one of your biggest mistakes? What was one of your biggest regrets in business? And it was just an easy one for me. When I was in the gym business, I'm working on my third gym, and my top guy is running the first gym, and it's the moneymaker, and it's making a lot of money. And he quit. And, you know, I just couldn't believe it. He was my right arm. But he quit mainly, and he had a catharsis, and he had a mental breakdown with it because I wasn't paying attention to him. He needed me to give him more attention. He needed to know my schedule. I can still remember when he broke down, saying, "Man, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you are," and you know, I just fumbled that. I should have known better. Should have known he needed more time. I thought he was, you know, he didn't need that, but he did, and we all need it. Certain degree. But man, that was from that point on, I said, that's not going to happen again. And so that's just one out of many stories you're going to hear about. But, you know, on that second takeaway again, you have an IEP, you have your files. Are you calling your people? Do they have your number? Some of my most favorite conversations were weekends where I would get the phone out and sit out in the backyard and just talk to my guys that were all over the country. And sometimes it'd be a text, sometimes it'd be, how are we communicating with our guys? And the third thing really is, and you can ask any great coach, the big secret is, it's not about them, it's about their assistants. If you're not giving credit to the people around you, you got problems. Nobody is self-made. I hate that phrase. You still hear it? Nobody is. And actually, it becomes a great fault if you get to that point. We know it's what really we call ingratitude. If you think you're doing it by yourself, not good. Not good for the universe. And if you don't have that amount of humility, and if you lack that humility and think it's because what you're doing, not good. St. Augustine calls that a deformed soul. And you can see our own leader right here, Peter, understands that. So we already have our role model right there. So three quick takeaways. We know that one of our biggest challenges now is how we're going to develop, become a winning coach. We've got to understand who we're mentoring. We've got to understand how we're mentoring. And spent a little bit of time last week talking about the silver tsunami, how all these baby boomers are leaving and they're coming back, but they don't want the jobs. And how our millennials really don't particularly like working with old people that think they know everything. So if you don't have some of these traits in place, how are you gonna be a great manager? You're not gonna win the game, so to speak. So this particular lesson's been more philosophical, and we're gonna end with some philosophical points here. So gonna give you a usable quote. I'm only using this one because I saw it three times this week, and I said, somebody's talking to me. It must be Confucius talking to me because it's an oldie, and you've probably heard it before, but wherever you go, go with all your heart. So how about a homework assignment? Now, this is actually a personal development experiment. So here it is. There's four steps to this piece of homework. It's a little wacky. I've done this before. Recently did it again. I think you might get something out of it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a short list. Might be 5 to 10 things of the good things in your life. What good things have occurred in your life? For example, married, great job, great friends, church, whatever it is that you think in your life are good things. A pug dog, for all I know. So, the second thing we're going to do now, we're going to look at that list, and one by one, we're going to remove them from the list and ask yourself, where would I be without this? Where would I be without being married? Where would I be without my favorite sports car? Whatever these good things in your life are. Stay with me now. You know, you're asking yourself on the happy meter, where are these things? And the third thing we're going to do is now we're going to add them back to the list one by one. You're not going to go fast on this. This should take a nice 20-minute reflection. But now, as you're adding them back, you're asking yourself now, what value do I place on these things? And there's this funny thing that happens in the brain. It's almost like a do-over. It's almost a deja vu of the important things in your life, the good things in your life. So it's something you do on a retreat every now and then. The last and the final step on this one is, and this is where you can share with me, doesn't have to be a... This is a homework assignment where you're not turning it in, but if you can tell me at some point in time, the fourth step is you're going to write a thank you note to somebody that's on that list. And you'd be amazed at what happens with those thank you notes. And that's where we'll pick it up next week. So I do have a slight change for next week, a request. Instead of Thursday, we're going to be in Orlando doing a Phase 2 leadership. So I'm going to see if we can push this to Friday and spread the word. I'll send out a little blurb.
We close already.
Well, Friday at 2:30. We'll be out of here.
I won't be able to make that.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to shoot for. So a little adjustment. We're nearing the end.
I can record it. Yeah.
All right. Hang in there, everybody. And hope you have a great rest of the day. Arrivederci.